This is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning. I think Oreo is one of the greatest names ever for a black and white cat. Yeah. It's just so perfect.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He might have been white before he got in the chimney, though. Yeah.
Good point. Or, but now he could be gray and white.
That's right. Yeah.
Well. So I'm presently watching a very interesting debate on the floor of the House of Representatives on reauthorizing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And it's been a debate that has taken many twists and turns. So we will see if the House passes that reauthorization bill today.
So where did FISA came out of 9/11? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Bill, specifically Section 702, which, if this bill passes, would be reauthorized for 2 years. If not, it expires in a week. It allows the U.S. to monitor foreign citizens outside of the U.S. without a warrant. And essentially what that means is if somebody is caught up in, for example, exchanging bomb-making information, which is one of the examples that was brought up on the House floor during the debate just moments ago, that person who is a foreign citizen, not on foreign soil, can then be on a U.S. intelligence radar. Now, the concern is if that person who is not a U.S. citizen speaking on foreign soil is speaking to a U.S. citizen, then that U.S. citizen may be caught up in surveillance. And that is the concern of many opponents of reauthorizing this bill, saying that it's warrantless spy tap of wiretapping and that the U.S. citizens should not be spied on. However, there are a lot of members of the intelligence community, former, by the way, Attorney General Bill Barr, and a whole host of other either Trump administration or Biden administration intel officials who say that if you do not allow this kind of surveillance, you cannot protect America from pending attacks, terrorist attacks, and that it is the strongest anti-terrorism tool that the U.S. has. And if you don't reauthorize it, it will basically cut off U.S. intelligence at the knees.
Okay, now I understand, based on what you said, that there are people that are on the radar as being terrorists or something outside of the country. If they have mm-hmm. contact with someone inside the country, that's kind of a suspicious contact that would warrant, further scrutiny or at least have them on the radar. That seems reasonable to me. That's a probable cause, because if they're innocent, nothing's going to come of it, correct?
Well, you would think so, right? But the argument is that that the government should get a warrant before it reviews any information on an American, even when they were engaging with a foreign terrorist target. So, however, House Speaker Mike Johnson, who, when he was a member of the House Judiciary Committee, was extremely anti-FISA, says he now supports reauthorizing it. And that gets into a whole nother issue about why he has come across the wrong side of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has already introduced a motion to vacate the chair or oust him from his position. But he says that he has changed his tune because as Speaker of the House, he is now privy to intelligence briefings. And he says that those intelligence briefings have opened up his eyes, and he has learned a lot more about security of the United States, and that he was underinformed when he opposed it ahead of becoming mm-hmm. Speaker of the House. So now he supports it. However, later today, he's going to be at Mar-a-Lago. He's going to be meeting with former President Trump, and he's been taking a lot of counseling from former President Trump, and former President Trump does not support reauthorization of FISA. So he is going to be running afoul of the former president, and that is not something that Johnson wants to do, especially with a target on his back. However, bringing it to the floor in the first place does show that he has had a change of tune. He could have just blocked it from coming to the floor.
Interesting you make that point about Johnson once he gets into the intelligence briefings. We had a similar conversation. We've had several with Senator John Tester, who really was not part of all of that until he became chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee for the military. And all of a sudden, he's brought into this, and he says it keeps him up at night.
Yeah, yeah, and I imagine it does. You know, Johnson is not disguising his change of tune. He says his reversal on this issue is a simple function of learning more about the program as Speaker of the House and realizing that this program is vital to national security, and that's why he supports it now. So, you know, sometimes the people who are actually in the committees, the people who have security authorization, and specifically those who can attend these intelligence briefings, you know, when they're saying that it is necessary, maybe some members might start to listen about that situation. And Johnson is one of those members now.
Linda, seems to me that there's a FISA court that's involved in all this.
Yes.
Is that enough to deter
abuse?
Yeah, the abuse.
Well, actually, that is exactly what they're talking about on the floor right now. I'm looking at former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and she is talking about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And previously, some members of the House Intelligence Committee said, look, if a U.S. citizen is swept up in surveillance of a foreign national speaking to a U.S. citizen, but that foreign national is not on U.S. soil, before the U.S. can then surveil that U.S. citizen, they have to go to the FISA court to get a warrant. So the supporters of the reauthorization are saying there are protections that are already built into the U.S. system that would mean that U.S. citizens do not get swept up in this kind of spycraft, if you will. And it is not, in effect, warrantless surveillance. But we'll see if that argument does hold. You know, they just have gone through a series of four votes. They agreed to debate the bill, and the debate is going on right now. So, as I say, it's very interesting debate for wonks such as myself.
Okay, so Linda, I'm wondering how bad can it get for Israel? I mean, they've got this thing going against Hamas, and now they're getting threatened by Iran.
Yeah, it could be pretty bad. We have been told that Iran is threatening to retaliate against Israel sometime this weekend, although if you look at the time difference between now and that region of the world, in the Middle East, it is this weekend now. And Iran says it's going to carry out what it calls a decisive response to the Israeli attack on April 1st that killed seven members of the IRGC, that's the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, including two generals from the IRGC. Iran says it's going to retaliate inside Israeli soil. It has also been very angry at the United States as an ally of Israel. The U.S. has been very transparent in saying that the U.S. had absolutely nothing to do with this Israeli attack against the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps, and has tried to make it very clear that it does not want escalation of tensions in the region. We have a top U.S. general in the region right now who's been negotiating, trying to head off any further escalation of tensions in an area which, quite frankly, is about as heightened in tensions as you could possibly get for since the October 7th attack, Hamas attack against Israel. So we are bracing for the possibility that Iran could attack Israel at any moment, or its assets or its proxies. And whether that means it's going to be within Israel's borders or not remains to be seen. the Prime Minister of Israel says that he will strike back. U.S. and other nations are saying, essentially, please, let's just talk about this and let's not escalate an already tense situation.
This became very real for me. I had to renew my passport yesterday. I took it to the post office, and when I was online doing the form, there it is, the latest information for U.S. citizens, travel advisory for Israel, the West Bank, Gaza, the Middle East. So things are heated up, and they have these warnings on the State Department site for these hot spots throughout the world, and that's one of them.
Yeah, it says essentially, don't go there. And if you do go there, then if you get into some kind of a trouble, the U.S. may not necessarily be able to get you out of that trouble.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Well, thank you, and take a deep breath, and let's see if we can get through this weekend without additional problems in the world.
We're going to be in the 70s. Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.